Mitchell Henderson is with us tonight, and he's going to bring us up to date on his overview, his oversight of what's going on, especially over there. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm still here. Thank you.
You? I'm okay. I'm here. And what I want to talk to about tonight is the economic World War III. Okay.
Underway, so, big time already, you bet.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit and then just talk about some other things that are going on. Okay, so the best way to figure out what the globalist elites have planned is to listen to them. They publish their intentions in journals like Foreign Affairs in the United States and The Economist magazine out of the United Kingdom, right, or through public statements made by the World Economic Forum. Understand that greed is like a gateway drug. When people get a lot of money, the money itself is soon not enough to satisfy. They will want fame. But soon fame is not enough. The ultimate high is power. They become so arrogant that they think they should tell us peasants how to live our lives, what we must think and believe, how we must act and behave. That is because the ultimate power is God. They want to be God, and they want you to obey. But to have power, you must follow the lead of the ultimate power table, which is cabal, which is Zionism. Let me describe Zionism for you in the simplest terms. Zionism is the ultimate arrogance of man believing that he can be God. It is the goal of Zionism for man to become God. You can see this in climate change. Although humans cannot change even the weather 3 days out, man thinks he can control the climate of the entire planet. More importantly, climate change is the pretext to enslave humanity, to make humanity give up its freedom, to sacrifice personal economic well-being for the well-being of the planet, which, by the way, can take care of itself just fine without us and without our help. Okay. Ultimately, when man becomes God, the man God requires human sacrifice. The fact is that green energy is inefficient and highly toxic to the environment. So green energy cannot support 8 billion people. It can support only about a half a billion people.
Do you include electro vehicles and green energy? I do. I don't know if you do.
Yes, I do.
The batteries in those cars are one of the most toxic elements in destroying the planet. Apparently, this is going to be a real problem, these batteries. What to do with them?
Well, yes, the batteries are. A lot of them use thionyl chloride, which is a key ingredient in making nerve gases. This stuff is so toxic that if it gets into the environment, you can never get thionyl chloride out of the environment. It's there forever, and it's like if you opened a bottle of thionyl chloride around a group of people, it'll kill everybody in the room. Okay,
it's very worse than radioactivity.
Yes, much worse than radioactivity. It'll kill you within moments. Okay, it's a very fast killer. So green energy cannot support 8 billion people. It can support only about a half a billion people. The Zionist man god, who Judaism calls the Messiah, Islam calls the Mahdi, and that Christianity calls the Antichrist, are the same exact entity. It is Satan made flesh. The Messiah in Judaism is a man, a political leader. He's a man god, okay? The man god wants obedience and offers you freedom to be ignorant, immoral, and decadent. For one man to be God, everyone else has to be a moral scum that lives in no morality at all. Moral relativism precedes morality becoming irrelevant in people's lives. It is a delusion for a man to be God, so his followers have to be delusional also. There are many names for this delusion, like the religion of wokeism, the faith of environmentalism, or the politics of Marxism. So let's start with Foreign Affairs magazine, or journal. In the March-April, the March-April title is The Middle East Moves On in Search of a Post-American Order. The editor, named Daniel Kurtz Phelan, writes, quote, "Under both Democratic and Republican administrations, Washington has proved that it is much better at destroying states than building them. Democracy fails to produce the kind of economic change that people across the Middle East desperately crave, prompting more and more of them to look to China rather than the USA as a model. Does the USA destroy states? Yes, definitely. It has created the failed states of Iraq and Somalia under April Gillespie, Libya, Yemen, Sudan, and South Sudan under Samantha Power, and now Afghanistan and Ukraine under Victoria Nuland.
There you go.
In the January-February issue of Foreign Affairs, an article by Elizabeth Economy was titled Xi Jinping's New World Order, Can China Remake the International System? In the article, it talks about a Chinese rules-based New World Order that does not cause all the pain in the world like the dollar does. The problem with the dollar is that the USA uses it as a bludgeon to get others to obey by sanctions, embargoes, and blockades. The dollar comes with strings attached and is unreliable precisely because the dollar is weaponized to cause disruptions in other nations' economies. China has two currencies, the renminbi, which means people's money, that is used by the people in China, and the yuan, which is government money for trade. The yuan is proposed as a neutral trade currency with no strings attached. It is not just China that is tired of being sanctioned, but the many pariah states like Iran, Venezuela, North Korea, and now Russia. Okay, now keep in mind the yuan, it's like when you print up dollars, okay, if they all come flowing back to the United States, you have hyperinflation, okay? So it can hurt the United States by doing that. The yuan is not used in China, okay? It's just for trade. So it doesn't hurt the local economy, regardless of what it does around the world, because it's not used in the local economy, okay? So the argument here is common. Within the USA, we say government regulations and permitting makes business expensive to conduct. Outside the U.S., it's still the USA that interferes and puts constraints on trade. The USA makes life expensive and difficult for humanity. The cover of the March 19th issue of The Economist is headlined, The Alternative World Order, showing pictures of Chairman Xi and Putin. The reason they're showing this stuff, keep in mind, is because they're trying to get us used to a new reality they're about to impose on us. The Chinese New World Order is not the Zionist World Order. It is just the method by which the Zionists can bring down Western civilization. The Zionist objective of the Ukraine war is to destroy the petrodollar, to destroy the dollar as the world reserve currency, to create hyperinflation in the West and the world, and to create the deepest economic depression the Earth has ever known. They will spark World War III because that is the best way to kill the most people quickly. This will be followed by famine. Famine weakens immune systems so that pestilence follows, epidemic after epidemic. It takes a lot of work to kill 7.5 billion human beings. It will take about a year to murder 94% of the world's population. Okay? So, that being said, what I just said there, this is a report from the International Monetary Fund. And let me explain for the audience what the IMF is and the World Bank is so they can basically understand. After World War II, when they set up the United Nations, they had this big meeting at a place called Bretton Woods in New Hampshire, I think. And they set up the Bretton Woods International Trade and Financial System. And the two components of that was the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. So these were set up at the same time as the United Nations, okay? And it was decided at the time the only country really untouched by war was the United States, so the dollar was the obvious currency to use for this, okay? So the IMF now reports that the Ukraine crisis will fundamentally alter global economic, trade, finance, and political order. Okay? So, it says the war may fundamentally alter the global economic and geopolitical order should energy trade shift, supply chains reconfigure, payment networks fragment, and countries rethink reserve currency holdings. Now, this is what I just said about them wanting to wipe out the economy of the United States and the world. the IMF is saying this is going to happen. Okay, it's not maybe. They're predicting this will happen. Okay. There is precedence for it. The BRICS country, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, they have for a long time wanted to set up a new exchange, method of exchange, to get the United States to butt out of everything, because they're tired of being bullied and ordered about, just like the American people are tired of being bullied and ordered about. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So what you see in America, you see in the whole world, okay? Now, of these countries in the BRICS, like even South Africa, refused to condemn Russia and refuses to take part in sanctions against Russia. India signed new trade agreements. Pakistan did. Iran did. China did. Okay. Recently, China and India have talked to each other, and they've decided to like cool it on their borders. Okay.
So for now.
For now, yes. Well, it's important to Russia because Russia needs both China and India as markets. Okay, so he doesn't want them going to war. Okay, and China, if it wants to take the Taiwan Strait, it would be nice for them to not have to worry about India taking advantage of that to start the fight to grab territory.
That's true. I think, how do you rate China and India? Seriously, are they pretty even?
Well, India's got a bigger military and probably a more professional military because they were modeled after the British. You have to realize that even though India wasn't a country to 1947, they served in the British military for centuries. Okay. So they do have a professional military. Okay. So anyways, there goes the world economy. Okay. Now this is from the Daily Mail. Okay. It's a report. It says, after watching Russia invade Ukraine, Biden responds with weak deterrent to potential China invasion of Taiwan. You have to remember that China's going to take advantage of things. They were talking about going taking Taiwan in the fall because, see, Chairman Xi has to make a decision. His decision is he can do like George Bush and start the war and finish the war and get great popularity. But then when it comes election time, his popularity has tapered off. Okay. So he could go in April, but that carries risks because what he wants to do with the invasion of Taiwan is he wants to reunify. So he may want to do it more in September. Okay. The Chinese have said they called it off in September. But, of course, they would do that because they don't want anybody to know when they're actually going to attack. But if they do it in September, that means China will be unified. At least the people within China and within the Communist Party will be unified. Like Biden is unified, gotten all these stupid Republican senators and congressmen to jump on the bandwagon against Putin and for the Ukraine, when the Republicans could have tactically used this to criticize Biden and Biden's actions on the world stage. They could have cut him down. This is a big political victory at home for Biden, for all the Republicans to be out there parroting, you know, oh, we gotta fight Putin. Putin's the bad man and stuff. You know, Putin's not the bad man. Biden is the bad man. Okay. So there was an interesting poll that came out, and there is a Pew poll, and they were asking people if they were willing to have nuclear war over the Ukraine, and the poll takers were yes, definitely, we're for a nuclear war on this, okay? But I don't think it's what the people who took the poll think it was. They think it was like, well, yes, Ukraine is so important that we have to go to a nuclear war over it. I know exactly who these people are. They're the people who want to be free of the woke dictatorship we have in this country. They're hoping for a nuclear war because they see that as the only salvation they have against the pedophile Marxist Biden regime. When I say pedophile, I saw today some of the photos on Hunter Biden's computer screen with little kids. We're talking.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday. It's just how repulsive. The guy is
evil. It's repulsive.
Evil.
It's disgusting.
Totally evil.
These are disgusting human beings that are running things.
I won't post the pictures. No.
No.
You can find them if you really want to see them.
To see it. Yeah. I saw it by accident, but it really was sort of shocking.
Right.
So we have to think when we listen to all the propaganda. For example, I can see now that the Orwellian doublethink actually works. Okay, so Americans have seen in the press, they have seen them handing out AK-47s to civilians in Ukraine. Okay. But then they show Russian tanks shooting at apartment buildings, okay, and saying, oh, they're just shooting upon civilians and stuff. Well, you know, put one and one together. You give out guns to civilians. Where are the civilians going to shoot from? Out of their apartment windows? Very likely, okay, because they get no training, so they don't know how to fight.
Well, did you hear the story? This is important. About the volunteers, ex-military from America and many other countries going over there to help the brave Ukrainian army under Zelensky fight these evil Russians. What's happening is a Russian went into a hospital today and found a number of the wounded volunteers, the Foreign Legion, so to speak, shot through the head in their hospital beds. The Ukraine army is killing them all so they don't heal up and go home and tell the truth. They're killing them. It's a trap.
Well, there's a Ukrainian medical doctor who was running a military hospital.
Yep.
Who said that Russian soldiers will be castrated if they're caught. Okay, that's a war crime. They even had pictures of Russian soldiers talking on Ukrainian TV. That's against the Geneva Conventions. You can't parade prisoners out and have them give speeches and stuff, okay? That's contrary to the Geneva Conventions. So how is that a war crime? I mean, you know, and we blew up some theater with people in it. The Russians did. Well, did George Bush, was he convicted of war crimes? Because he hit a bunker full of like hundreds and hundreds of Iraqis in a bomb shelter.
Oh, God,
and they were
horrible.
Just average citizens.
Horrible.
And nobody was accountable.
Nope.
The pedophile Marxist Biden himself, was he held to account for murdering seven little children in a car in Afghanistan and the last attack of the war? No. When we do it, it's just a mistake that you can shrug off. But, you know, when the enemy does it, it's just the most horrible thing. The lying just goes on and on. On one hand, since 2014, I have met dozens of soldiers that came back from Ukraine that were training the Ukrainian army.
Uh-huh.
Every one of them, without exception, every single one of them said that the Ukrainian army was a Nazi army that wore Nazi emblems and stuff like that, okay? And they would not send black, Hispanic, or Asian soldiers to train them. Only white soldiers, because the Nazis didn't want.
Was this only the Azov battalion that flaunted this symbol, the Nazi symbol?
No, No. All Ukrainian army guys have Nazi symbols on their uniform. It's it is a Nazi army. It is so weird because its commander in chief is a Zionist Jew. You know,
a cokehead
but we
too.
We discussed last time how Ukraine is so involved in all this. Okay, the end game of the Zionists and stuff. It is their place, okay? The very symbol you see of Ukraine is a Khazarian Zionist symbol, okay? So then Facebook said, well, you can't show any Nazi symbols at all on Facebook, but if it's a Ukrainian military unit, they can flash their swastikas or whatever. That's okay. All right? And then... our government sits there and tells us, oh, they're not Nazis. Well, you know, they say they're Nazis. It's us that says that they're not.
I think they're not. I don't think they're Nazis. I think they're communists. I think the labels have been flipped. The German military acted in so many cases, as you well know, with dignity, old-style protocols of treating the enemy fairly. This talk about castrating this is Bolshevik communist nuts. They're crazy.
I agree with you. There's a big difference between a Nazi and a National Socialist. Okay.
Thank you.
National Socialist is a political and economic system. Okay.
Yes.
Whereas what's commonly known as a Nazi, that's a derogatory term. Okay, and it really applies to people who have this sort of bluster, they've got this symbolism and stuff, and it's more like a gang, okay, than it is an actual political movement.
Sure, I agree. All right, hold on just a minute. Good point. So again, dear friends, it's a label game. These people are no more. I think many of them, frankly, if they were in the German army, would have been court-martialed or thrown out immediately for their behavior. Don't buy into that. These people, they're communists. They're led by a communist Bolshevik, that nose-candy-loving. He doesn't like cocaine. He just likes the smell of it. I forgot. Zelensky. Come on. You all know what's going on, I think. Okay. It's a label game. It's a semantic war as well. They're not Nazis. They can call themselves whatever they want. They're Bolshevik Zionist communist led. All right? Back in a minute with Mitch. Hold on. Okay. And we're back. Talking with Mitchell Henderson. Okay, Mitch. One other thing. This whole thing of calling them Nazis, I really think plays right into the hands of the international Zionist press. I think it's crap. I think it has nothing to do with German military behavior or attitudes. So what if they put the logo on their pants or their jackets or their combat blouses, whatever? It doesn't make them Nazis. They're just evil. They're killing people. They are killing their own civilians. They're shelling their own people to make it look like the Russians did it. That's not Nazi behavior according to World War II history. This doesn't happen.
Well, listen, what we could be looking at is like if America knew that in 2014, if our soldiers were coming back and said that and they knew about it, perhaps this is when the Ukraine fails, who are they going to blame it on? See, they'll blame it on the Nazis.
Of course. There you go. Whipping boy. Let's whip them again. Yeah.
So we're just thinking ahead here. Okay. So one of the things that is terrible in the Western press and even in Fox News, I mean, they do it. That everybody's saying, oh, the Russians are not meeting their objectives Ukraine. They are not accomplishing things. They're seeing that the soldiers are inept, their weapons are not very good, et cetera, and on and on and on constantly. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I want to do is, as a person who spent 28 years in the Army, and I was a staff officer on a battalion staff, let me assure you this. For anybody in the United States to say that Russia is not meeting their objectives is absurd in its face, because how do we know what their objectives are? Like my battalion, when I had my battalion, we were given an objective, and and the staff and the officers in the battalion would know what that objective was, and we would tell the troops on the ground what they needed to know, okay? But really, your objective is something you keep close to your vest. It's like playing a poker game. You don't want to show everybody else your cards, okay? Telling other people what your objective is right. Like showing them your cards in a card game, okay? It's
sure.
just not something
yeah, yeah.
to do. So, and we do not have good human intelligence in Russia, so we don't have people who can tell us what their objectives are. So they're full of nonsense when they say the Russians are not meeting their objectives, because we don't know what their objectives are. Perhaps they have met all of their objectives. We wouldn't know. Okay. There was this article where they interviewed this U.S. Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, and they were asking him about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he said, this has slowed the Russians' advance to the point where it has given false hope to both the Ukrainians, but seized on by people in the West to try and convince the world that a defeat is in progress, when in fact the opposite is the case, McGregor said. The war, for all intents and purposes, has been decided, the retired colonel said. The entire operation from day one was focused on the destruction of Ukrainian forces. That's largely complete. The Ukrainian units still active are completely surrounded, cut off, and are isolated in various towns and cities, said McGregor, including as many as 60,000 on the border with Donetsk, whose supplies are likely running out by now.
Yes, they are.
Media coverage of the fighting, however, ignores this reality and paints a picture of a Russian military being inept, in the words of some U.S. senators. Okay.
Mitchell, one other question, if I might.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going to happen. I know I'm just kind of throwing the question at you, knowing the answer, but what's going to happen with Mariupol? The Russians have opened gate after gate for the people to leave. It is being reported that the actual Ukrainian troops are firing on some of them to make them stay in their homes. They do not want them to leave because that city is going to be flattened. That's what's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, yes, I think very sad. I think it's very kind of the Russian military to agree to zones where people can get out. Okay, the purpose of a siege is to lock a bunch of people in the city and to starve them into submission. Okay, that's what a siege is. To allow humanitarian relief into a siege is contrary to the very purpose of a siege.
Correct.
I mean, why would you do that? That all
right.
that does is
right.
prolongs the people's suffering. Okay. So I just want to add here that in my reading about Putin, because I don't like to just read like what Westerners say about Putin, but to like read what people that know Putin personally say about him. And say about how he thinks and how he believes and stuff, okay? Well, Putin's favorite book is The Art of War by Sun Tzu, okay? If you look at the way that they've invaded Ukraine, it's according to Sun Tzu. You don't blow all your force on taking a large city, Okay, you bypass it and go around it. Then you come back and mop up later when you have the time and the forces to do it. Okay,
got it.
So
yeah.
He's doing that. Also, Sun Tzu said the best victory is the victory that you have without fighting. So Putin is not interested in throwing away soldiers in the Ukraine. If he can just apply this much pressure and he can get what he wants, then all the better for him. Actually, his better units are up on the border with Finland, Estonia, and Latvia. Okay. The soldiers that he sent in to the Ukraine, he's got 70 divisions. He sent five divisions in initially with a follow-on of four more divisions. Okay. That is not his entire military. And when they said that he's asking for military supplies and military help from China, okay, we read that entirely the wrong way. What Russia was trying to tell China is, hey, any time now you can go on Taiwan. That's what they're talking about.
Oh, now, okay. This is very interesting.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. the help that he's looking for. So, so everything is going according to his plan. He's succeeded in dividing the world because the market he has, he's got China, that's 1.5 billion people, and he's got India, that's 1.5 billion people. Now, the United States tried to put pressure on China. I mean, we've lost so much face with China that when Blinken or whoever, or Jake Sullivan, met the foreign minister in Rome and demanded that they not help Russia in any way, China told them to back off. They don't take their orders from Washington, D.C., okay? And China understands, you know, China describes it as, you know, the United States is trying to form a NATO around China also, and they're trying to do it to Russia. And this is what Russia and China have in common, is both of them, the West is trying to contain them, okay? But you'll notice when they came out with the AUKUS thing, the Australia, UK, and US alliance against China, that they quit mentioning India. Well, India has, I even saw this news thing where they asked India, well, how come you don't condemn Russia and stuff? And why did you abstain from voting against them in the Security Council? And India said, well, listen, in the last century, on three major occasions, one was the war in Bangladesh, one was over Kashmir, and one was another war, I think in, I forget what year it was, but it was with Pakistan. The United Nations moved to, wanted to vote to condemn India, okay? And all three of those votes, the United States condemned India. On all three of those votes, Russia backed, well, it was the Soviet Union then, but Russia backed India instead of voting against them. So Russia vetoed the resolutions against India. Okay, so they didn't happen. So India has, they use Russian military equipment. They even have joint ventures like the BrahMos missile, which is an anti-ship missile that they make with India.
That's an excellent product, I understand, too, an outstanding weapon.
Yes, and in the 70 war, one war, the Bangladesh war, the Allies even sent the navies over there, and the Russian Navy formed a cordon around South India and would not let the Western Allies approach India. So they actually physically defended India before. India knows that the United States is an unreliable ally and not to be counted on. So they don't do it. And then Pakistan, they decided, hey, we'll buy oil from Russia. And you still have, like, Turkey and Hungary buying oil from Russia, and not even talking about cutting that off in any way. Okay. Iran is definitely on Russia's side because Iran has been sanctioned to death. Okay. So they can do it. And it's surprising that you see what's so strange is Israel will not sanction Russia. And the reason they won't sanction Russia is because about 200,000 people in its population are Russian Jewish people that live in Israel. And they actually have Russian passports, and they can vote in Russian elections. As a matter of fact, you can judge that a Russian election is solid because the Israelis run the election for him, and he got 82% of the vote. Putin got 82% of the vote in Israel, okay, which is very extremely liberal country, okay. So Israel is not getting in the mix because they realize, they know, that when Putin went into Syria, he told Assad, he said, I will help you keep your country, but you cannot allow any attacks on Israel because we're not going to get in a fight with Israel. Okay. So, and if Israel wants to bomb Iranian military sites that are being constructed, they just call up Russia and say, hey, we need to make an air attack on this base, and Russia will turn off the radars and let them do it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So Israel is not anti-Russia. Okay. Look at the UAE and Egypt. We turned our backs on them, and not only did we cut off sales that we had already made to them, we stopped those sales, and we took all our anti-missile defense systems out of Saudi Arabia and the UAE, and they've been struck by Houthi missiles and stuff. So that's why when Biden calls the UAE or Saudi Arabia, nobody's going to pick up the phone on the other side. They don't care. They Boris Johnson went to Saudi Arabia and said, please turn up the thing. And they said, oh, you know, OPEC includes Russia also. And we all work together. And you know what? Russia doesn't want us to turn up the production. So we're not. Okay. So, and Saudi Arabia has started selling oil to, China, and they're taking payment in yuans, okay, instead of dollars. I mean, the petrodollar, it's like the IMF said, the petrodollar is dead, and Joe Biden killed it, okay? Joe Biden killed the American dollar as the world reserve currency. Everything he's done has been to destroy American power, to destroy the West. The worst enemy the United States has is the pedophile Marxist Biden regime, you know?
Well said. So, really well said. You're 100% on the money. This guy is an agent for the deconstruction of the United States of America. That's what he's doing.
Right.
All of these sanctions, most every one of them can demonstrably right now be shown be far more deleterious to the American way of life, our culture, our economy, and everything else than it will be to the so-called enemies we put them on, like Russia. Russia's fine. They can get along just fine.
Not only that, but just to show the disconnect, this is another disconnect in people's minds over here, is in my local newspaper, they in the editorial page, they ask people question, are they willing to pay more for gas to punish Russia? And it was unbelievable, but like 20 people said, yeah, we're willing to pay more for gas to punish Russia. Well, Russia is making a lot more money from oil right now. They're making three times as much money right now as they were before this invasion because the price of oil goes up. Russia's a major exporter of oil. They still export oil, only now they get paid a lot more money for their oil than they did before the pedophile Marxist Biden regime sanctioned them. Okay. So the sanctions hurt us. They're hurting in Europe very bad. They're having protests in the streets of Spain over the high gas prices due to sanctions they put on Russia. Yeah. In Germany, there's truckers blocking off the roads because of the high price of diesel fuel and stuff. So the Europeans, people are rebelling against their own country, are protesting what their countries have done. Okay. What you hear in the news over here is never has NATO been so united as it is now. To the contrary, it has never been less united.
It's fragmented.
Than it is right now.
Of course. Okay? Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's the lies we're fed. It boggles my mind how there's some Republican senators and congressmen that I used to think were sharp people that knew what they were talking about, but man, they're buying this hook, line, and sinker. They're backing the Biden regime on this. It is shameful and disgusting. This should have been their opportunity to attack the Biden regime, and what they're doing is they're bolstering it.
They're falling right in line.
Yeah,
Mitch, it's astonishing to me.
Defeat from the mouth of victory that they would have had in 2022 if they would have attacked Biden over this instead of supported him. Okay,
it's
this is what happens all over the world. Whenever your country is divided, you go start a war, and then everybody, you know, comes together. Okay, it actually works for some reason. I think it's because people think, well, we have to support the war, or we're being unpatriotic and stuff. But
please.
I consider myself a patriot. I've been to 16 conflict zones in my 28 years, and I'll tell you that this war is we. Started this war. We picked this war. We bullied Russia into this. We pushed them into this.
Yes. Yep.
We do not have moral force in this war. Russia has the moral force. Okay. So, it's just there's so many things. I'm convinced that there's a great deal of Americans that are totally brainwashed about this. I think part of the brainwashing, now this is just my opinion, I think that part of the brainwashing comes from the vaccine. Okay. I think
you're not off track at all. There is a lot of evidence that vax, that bioweapon, goes into the hypothalamus, into the brain, and causes personality changes that can range from A to Z. It gets in there, right through the blood-brain barrier, and I think you're right. I think you got something.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine in California just a few days ago, and he got the shot last year. And let me tell you something about this guy. His wife is a health food nut, and she prepares him. They're not like vegetarian or anything. It's just good and healthy food. She prepares the meals for him and his kids and stuff, and it's good meals, and it is healthy fare, okay?
Sure.
But he got the shot. He took the shot, and what he had to go through this year was colon cancer. They found colon
cancer.
I'm
sorry. Really sorry to hear
it. He says, there's not even anybody in my family that's ever had colon cancer.
No, he got it from the bioweapon. It destroys your immune system. It destroys your body's anti-tumor functionality, and the P53 gene is one of them. It's a protein. There's another one. I can't remember the name of it. But those are the two mainstays that keep cancer suppressed all the time in the body. And one of the things that this very vicious thing does is destroy those for openers. You're going to see a lot more cancer. It's already in epidemic proportions.
Well, the second thing is he used to be a reasonable person. Now he supports BLM, CRT. He's not the person that I knew before.
No, it's not something.
And he's woke. Which means he cannot listen to reason whatsoever. There's no reasoning with woke people. They just know what the facts are, and that's what they are. And if you don't agree with them, then you are an evil, wicked person. Okay,
that's
all. Right. It's their response to any argument is an ad hominem attack or an appeal to emotion. Okay, but they won't reason with you at all.
There's no intellect. No, it's no.
No, no, not at all. So, from the point of view of the goal of destroying the U.S. as the world reserve currency, of ending the petrodollar, they've done it. Now what's going to happen is all those dollars we printed and exported overseas are going to come back, and we're going to have hyperinflation. People, get ready for a lot of suffering, because the suffering that's going to go on from here on out is just going to be mind-blowing. I mean, even after the gasoline price is the trigger for inflation, even after that, the Biden regime will not even allow any drilling on public lands or anything like that. No more pipelines, nothing. He's still shutting pipelines down right now. He shut down a pipeline in Mexico now with all that's going on.
Greatest enemy of America.
Gas prices to be higher.
Greatest enemy of America in my lifetime, in the higher levels of government. No, and it's all by design. Nothing happens accidentally anymore. All right, Mitchell, excellent report. Thank you very much, as always, and we will talk to you next week. Okay. Good night. All right, there we are, off and running on a Monday. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back with you tomorrow night in 21 hours. Take care. Talk soon. Right.